The Coram Deo Church Community is a church rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and committed to living on mission in the city of Omaha. For more information, visit cdomaha.com.
This morning's reading is Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of God.
My name is Doug Stevens, one of the deacons for our church, and it's good to be here. I want to start a little different this morning from how we normally do. I actually want to start with an exercise, right? I know you guys are all excited, like little arm circles or something. We're not going to do that. I want to do a mental exercise just to get us thinking a little bit. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Think of two or three people groups that you know of, or maybe that you are around. And when I say people groups, I simply mean groups of people that you know of, but in some way you are unlike them, or they are unlike you. You may be near to them, you may know of them, you may even be among them, but in some significant way there is a difference between you and them. Maybe it's that they have different theological beliefs. Or maybe they have children and you don't have children. Or maybe they are out of school and you are in school. Maybe they are in a different socioeconomic class or speak a different language. Or maybe there's people groups that are formed around, or kind of they find unity around, their favorite sport or their favorite sports team or a place that they like to go or their workplace. Another great place to think of people groups is just your neighborhood. All of us could consider our neighborhoods as people groups. So try to think of three of those. And while you're thinking, let me just give you some examples from my family's life. First people group would be the people of Hanscom Park neighborhood. This is about 6,500 people, and they are very much like us in that we live in the same neighborhood in our city. But many of them are very much unlike us in that they may not worship Jesus as God yet. Or a second people group would be Spanish-speaking Latino people who are kind of in the midtown, South Omaha area of our city. Again, they're very much like us in that we kind of share the same vicinity of our city, but often they are much, very much unlike us in that they speak a different language and often just have very different cultural rhythms than my particular family. Or a third people group would be Jewish people who actually live in the land of Israel. These are people that we love and that we care about. We've got to go visit them some and we pray for them, but they are very much unlike us. They speak a different language. Most of them have a different religion, very different cultural rhythms, and they just live really far away. So think of three people groups. And if you can, write them down somewhere or maybe punch them into your phone or something like that. Don't worry too much about getting the right people groups. Just think of groups of people around you who are like you in some ways, but in significant ways, there's some sort of difference between you and them. That's going to be crucial. That's going to be important for today's message, because this morning we're looking at Psalm 67, which Psalm 67 is the prayer of a missional community who wants the people groups around them to praise God. And in the text of Psalm 67, you're going to see it expressed as words like nations or peoples. What that refers to is simply people groups, or groups of people who in some way are unlike us. And I want to make the point this morning that the prayer of Psalm 67 is this: the face of God for the mission of God for the praise of God. The missional community here, they are asking for God's face to shine upon them for the sake of God's mission through them to the end goal of God's praise. Furthermore, I believe this is how we should be praying. This is how the missional communities in Coram Deo should be praying for the face of God, for the mission of God, for the praise of God. Now, before we get too far, I should probably just give this disclaimer. I am about to track through Psalm 67 with the assumption that all of us are already in missional communities. And I know that simply isn't true, and that's just fine. Some of you are kind of new around Coram Deo, and you're just beginning to explore what our church is like. Some of you are new to the ways and the teachings of Jesus, and you have no idea what that phrase missional community even means. And that's okay. And then there's just a lot of missional communities in our church that are just kind of in a season of pulled back, relaxed rhythms. All of that is fine, but for the sake of just the flow of the text, I'm going to preach as though we are in missional communities. So as you listen and as you respond, you may need to think forward to this fall, the missional community that you're going to launch or be a part of and help develop, or you may need to think back to communities that you've been a part of in the past. And some of you can maybe think of the community that you are a part of right now. Okay, so with that said, and with some people groups kind of bouncing around in your mind or written down somewhere, let's jump into the actual text of Psalm 67 and track this prayer for the face of God, for the mission of God, for the praise of God. The prayer of this missional community begins in a way that would have been very familiar to the original prayers. Verse 1 is pulled directly from one of the best known, most widely recognized, most often rehearsed prayers of that culture in that time. It comes from a prayer that God gave to his priest to pray over his people, to bless them. In Psalm 67:1, it reads like this: "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us." Back in Numbers chapter 6, further back towards the beginning of your Bible, in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, which is where this prayer was originally given to God's people, it reads like this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." You may have heard that prayer before, maybe as a benediction, kind of the closing word of blessing from a church gathering. I want us to go one verse further in Numbers chapter 6. Look at verse 27. God tells the priest, his priest, that by speaking this prayer of blessing, "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." In other words, this is a naming prayer, a prayer of blessing that God himself came up with to name his people, to identify his people, to set his people apart. It is meant to drive down to the deepest part of the core of what it means to be God's people. The idea is that if the people of Israel ever wondered, "Who are we? We're not for sure who we are," then this prayer would be ringing in their ears from memory. We are God's. We are blessed by God. We have the blessing of God. We see the face of God. He keeps us. He gives us his peace. He lifts up his countenance upon us. We are his. This prayer named the people of God. Now, go back to Psalm 67. Track with me here. The praying community in Psalm 67, what they do is they take three aspects of this naming, identifying prayer, and they pray them for themselves. So let's just track through these three aspects. First of all, they pray, "God, be gracious to us. We need you to forgive us by your grace because we are weak, we are needy, we are sinful, we are broken. Give us your grace. God, we can't, but you can." But they don't stop there. They ask for more. And their requests escalate. Prayer number two, they say, God, bless us. God, would you make us to develop and to grow? Don't let us be stagnant. Let us flourish. Let what is dying be made alive. Let what is weak be made strong. Let what is sick be made well. Let what is broken be made whole. God, bless us. But they don't stop there. They ask for more. And again, their request escalates. Third prayer. Make your face to shine upon us. Yes, we know that you have forgiven us by your grace. We know that you will bless us. But most of all, God, we ask for your face. We don't want to just know what to do. We don't want to just be sent on mission. We don't just want laws and rules and regulations and strategies and tactics and ideas and books and buildings and miracles and signs and wonders and words. God, we want your face. Give us your face. They're asking for God to give them himself. The face communicates intimacy. It communicates presence. It says, I am here. God, give us your face. This is the deepest, most raw prayer of the people of God. This is what Moses prayed back in the book of Exodus when God commanded him to lead the people of Israel out from Mount Sinai after that whole Ten Commandments and Golden Calf fiasco. You guys remember that? God commands him, lead Moses out. And Moses' response to him is, God, I don't want to just do what you're telling me to do. I don't just want to be successful as a leader of these people. God, if you're going to send us, I must see your face. And then King David prays this in Psalm 4. People all around him are taunting him, making fun of him, sarcastically saying to him, oh yeah, who's going to show you any good? Who's going to do any good for you? David responds by praying, Lord, lift up your countenance upon us. Give us your face. And then again, David prays it in Psalm 27. This time, there's armies all around him. His enemies are preparing to strike against him, try to destroy him. And David prays, though an army encamp against me, there's only one thing that I ask, Lord. There's only one thing that I am seeking. Your face, Lord, do I seek. God, we are your people. Give us your face. I don't think I have to convince any of us how crucial and essential the face is for a relationship. Just think of a little boy, maybe a son, who gets a new toy from his dad after his dad stays out late yet again and misses bedtime yet again and again and again. Or think of a wife who sits next to her husband while he turns his face towards yet another game or another movie or episode 432 of season 16 of the latest TV show that wants to be lost. Listen, what that little boy needs is not a new Spider-Man toy. He needs his dad's face. And what that wife longs for and wants isn't to watch someone else's story on the screen. She wants her husband's face. She wants him. She's saying, give me yourself. Show me your face. And this is how God's people pray. They long for his face. Oh God, please God, give us your face. I remember feeling this with my own missional community. When a young teenage girl had joined our community and she moved out from her mom's house just for fear of her own safety, and her parents had long since been divorced, long since addicted to drugs and long since just left her, neglected her, made fun of her. And so she moved in next door just so she could get some sleep at night. And then one night, our missional community were talking about how we are a family and how we operate like a family. And in the middle of this, this young teenage girl, she begins to cry. And I remember her like raising her hand to talk. She didn't know exactly like what to do. She raises her hand to talk, and in the midst of her tears, she expresses to us how difficult and how painful it is to hear us talk about family, because her only conceptions of family were painful and broken and negative. So as she sat there crying, I don't think there was any of us in the room that wanted some brilliant strategy or nifty advice or neat gift to give her. What we wanted was for God to shine his face upon her. We wanted God to give himself to her. I remember feeling this also just personally. One night, it was a couple of years ago, and I was leaving No Frills Supermarket close to our house. And when I was leaving, I saw this crowd out at the edge of the parking lot. And so I went to see what was going on, what was happening. And when I got there, what I found was a young man laying on the pavement in a pool of his own blood. He had just been shot. And then he died. I had never been that close to death. And I remember after the scene cleared out and everything, I remember going home. And I sat down with Whitney, and I just cried. I had no idea what to feel. I had no idea what to think. I had no clue, much less what to say or to do. I just remember I needed God. I wanted to see his face. God, show me your face. Have you been there? Has your missional community ventured into pockets of brokenness to where you find yourself only having the prayer, God, give us your face? We're out of strategies. We're out of energy. We're out of clues, God. Give us your face. You know those people groups that you thought of earlier? At the end of the day, they don't need brilliant strategy or your cool, attractive personality or your ability to drink a beer or your knowledge of Husker football or your perfectly behaved children or your clean house or your expansive knowledge of the Bible. What they need at the end of the day is the face of God. They need God himself. And maybe this morning, you're one of those people here and you're thinking, I don't even want to think about praying in a missional community. I'm just happy to be here. You may say that it feels like your life is unraveling. Maybe your job is just hanging by a thread, or maybe it's long gone. Your relationships are just disintegrating and tearing apart at the seams, or maybe they're long gone. You might be that young lady this morning who has never known the loving face of a father. You might be a man this morning, and you feel like you're fighting for your life, but if you were to get knocked down, you got nobody in your corner to help you get back up. Listen, if that's you, let me encourage you. You need the face of God. You need him. You don't just need better church attendance. You don't just need to quit that addiction. You don't just need a new group of friends. You don't just need that someone to apologize to you or this someone to forgive you. You don't just need a new set of circumstances. You need the face of God. Ask him. Ask him, say, God, please show me your face. Give me yourself. Not just your stuff. Give me yourself. The first component of the prayer of a missional community is the prayer for God's face. And then in the text of Psalm 67, the psalmist throws in this little word, Selah. Slow down. Think about this. Let this sink in. The idea is that as this community is praying, they pause to ponder that they are the people of God in need of the face of God. Then, right then, as they are thinking about this, as they are pondering this, as they are remembering this, verse 2 blasts onto the scene. Verse 2 just shows up onto the scene. Verse 2 flies into the picture, and verse 2 begins with a connecting word, that. So that tells us, connecting words are hugely important in the scriptures. Starts with the connecting word that. It tells us that verse 1, the prayer for God's blessing, for God's grace, for God's face, that prayer is going somewhere. That prayer is connected to something. That prayer isn't meant to terminate on that community. That prayer is going somewhere. Where is it going? Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. So this praying community that we see here, they are a missional community. They are taking this familiar, naming, identifying prayer, and they are praying it explicitly and specifically for the purpose of mission. This family of God is a missionary family of God. That is revolutionary. They are saying that we have become a community for the sake of the mission of God. We have been formed into a family for the sake of the mission of God. Now we are praying for the sake of the mission of God. We are asking God for His grace for the mission. We are asking God for His blessing for the mission. We are asking God, show us your face for the sake of the mission of God. That is a missional community. That is a missionary family. Now, how is the mission of God expressed in Psalm 67? Look in the text at verse 2. The mission of God is expressed in two ways. First, the way of God, and then the saving power of God. They want it to be made known among nations, among people groups around them. The way of God refers to how things go under God's rule, under His reign, under His leadership. Most likely, this missional community was specifically thinking of God's law, His order for how a culture is meant to flourish and to grow and to develop. They know that God is good and wise and loving. So when a people group gets to know the way of God, they know that people group will flourish and they will be made glad and they will sing for joy because of God's good judgments and God's good guidance. That's what verse 4 tells us. Now, the saving power of God refers to what is revealed to be required when God's law becomes known, right? When a people group learns the laws of God, they immediately realize that they can't attain to them. They can't obey them completely. They can't obey them rightly. They want to, they need to, and they know that is what is best for them, but every time they try, they mess up. They slip up. Therefore, when the law of God is made known, the saving power of God is required. In the Hebrew, this is fascinating. This is some of the reasons why the scriptures are so great. In the Hebrew, the word that is translated to us, saving power, that word is Yeshua. You take Yeshua and you bring it through to our time, our place, our language today, and you get the name Jesus. So what is happening here is there is a missional community who so wants to be profoundly shaped and formed by the face of God so that they can model and teach the way of God and declare the good news of God's saving power, i.e. Jesus, to the people group around them. That's what a missional community does. So let me say it again. This missional community wants to be so formed and shaped by the face of God so that they can teach the way of God and declare the good news about Jesus to the people group around them. So ask yourself, are you in such a community? Are you helping to develop such a community? In my experience, I've seen communities kind of get off balance or thrown off track in all three of these areas of God's face, His way, and His saving power. And to be honest, I've gotten off balance in all three of these areas. So let me track through these with you and look at how God's community, God's people can get off balance. First way that a missional community can get off balance, God's face just for us. So many missional communities, they pray for God's grace and for God's face, but then they let that terminate on themselves. They ask for and they want more of God, but then they keep that more of God for themselves. And usually this is really subtle. It's sneaky. Because what happens is in that community, there's so much going on within that community. Either they have really busy lives or they just realize, man, there's so much mess already in this community. How are we as a people ever going to reach a people group? And so they pray. They may pray a lot, but those prayers terminate on themselves. And pretty soon that community becomes insular. And then they get stuck. And finally, they get bored. And usually, they're still messed up. Which, we're always messed up, always in need of God's grace. First way to get off balance is God's face just for us. Second way that communities can get off balance or off track is an overemphasis on the way of God. Sometimes missional communities just get hyper-focused on wishing that the way of God, the laws of God, would be made known. This is usually a very moralist community. They are very well aware of how terrible and how bad and how sad the culture is out there. They even pray, but they pray for those people out there. And so a lot of times they may even do service projects or write letters to their senators or feed the poor. And hear me, those things are all great. But usually with this kind of community, there is a big distance between them and the people that they think they're supposed to reach, but they may not actually want to reach them. They overemphasize the way of God. A third way that communities can get off balance is a misunderstanding of God's saving power. Now, this is a really accepting, loving community. There's always new people coming into the community. I mean, they love to talk about grace and forgiveness and, oh, no big deal, that's okay, everything's just fine. But often what they will do is they fail to make the connection between the power of God's grace to save and the power of God's grace to sanctify, to make holy, to grow, to mature, to be discipled. And so often this kind of community will get stuck at levels of just immaturity. So when you think about your missional community, where do you lean? Which way do you guys tend to get off balance? In Psalm 67, we see a community that is asking for the face of God for the sake of the mission of God. But they don't end there, do they? How does their prayer culminate? How does their prayer climax? Their prayer culminates in an insatiable desire for God to be praised. After praying for the face of God, for the sake of the mission of God, this missional community just seemingly erupts with verse 3. They say, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." This is the culmination and the climax of the face of God for the mission of God. The praise of God. Indeed, this is why a community is on mission to a people group in the first place, so that that people group might praise God. At the end of the day, mission does not exist for mission's sake. The fact that Coram Deo is a missional church doesn't mean that we just love mission and worship mission and give mission a big hug every night before we go to bed. No, the fact is, Coram Deo is a missional church because we want people to praise God. Furthermore, we don't have dozens of missional communities scattered throughout the city and throughout the region just because we think missional communities are the latest and greatest church growth idea or way to organize or systematize people in a big church. No, we have missional communities all throughout the city because we want all kinds of people in all different areas and in all different aspects of our city to praise God. Mission does not exist for mission's sake. Mission exists because praise does not. Are you tracking with that? Are you guys here? Mission exists because praise does not exist. This community in Psalm 67, they are hungry for the praise of God. They want God to be praised. So they ask for it four times. In verse 3, they say, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." That's two times. Then in verse 5, they're just so filled up and fired up about this that they just repeat their petition. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." That's four times. But really, they're not quite done yet. All throughout the psalm, they're asking for God to be known and praised, just using different language. So in verse 2, they're saying, "O God, may your way and your saving power be made known." That is 5. And then in verse 4, they say, "Let the nations sing for joy." That is 6. And then they finish out the psalm in verse 7 saying, "Let all the nations fear him." That is 7. So 7 times in one psalm from one missional community that just won't shut up about the praise of God. 7 times they ask for it in 7 verses. So, do you want the praise of God? Do you praise God like a sailor cusses? Is like every other sentence that comes out of your mouth some blab about how praiseworthy God is? I say that kind of facetiously, but also say that kind of seriously. Listen, missional community. I'm assuming you're all in missional communities. If not, that's okay. But listen, the people group that you are seeking to reach, they are already praising something or somebody. They have little gods, whether those can be seen or not. Though that people group, they are praisers. So, if you, as a missional community, are not hungry for and craving for and longing for and desiring for God to be praised, what you're going to end up doing is redirecting the praise of that people group to yourself. And you aren't that praiseworthy. Praise God. You aren't that cool. You aren't that great. You aren't that glorious. You aren't that sovereign. You aren't that holy. You aren't that popular. You aren't that pure. Great news. Missional community, you were meant, you were formed to publish the praise of God. This is is why you exist or you're about to exist in the fall. To publish the praise of God. This is how a missional community prays. For the face of God, for the mission of God, for the praise of God. Now, let me wrap this up. Close this thing down. Let's just close, all right, by telling ourselves now that we are going to fail. And that is okay. That is okay. Here's why it is okay. Because when we're praying for the face of God, for the mission of God, for the praise of God, we are really praying for Jesus. Just think about this and just marvel at Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 says that the glory of God Almighty is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we ask God for his face, we get Jesus. And this same Jesus, he came and he fulfilled the mission of God. The ultimate missionary family, the Holy Trinity of God, they sent Jesus to a people group very much unlike himself. And he perfectly fulfilled the way of God. And then he died for that people group very much unlike himself. The law keeper for the law breakers. The perfect for the imperfect. The clean for the dirty. The well done for the messed up. But the mission didn't end there. The mission of God culminated and it climaxed in the praise of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He rose again, victorious, alive, and powerful. And listen, if there's anybody who is worthy of praise, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one who showed us the face of God, perfectly fulfilled the mission of God, and eternally secured the praise of God. He's worthy of praise. Jesus is the face of God for the mission of God, for the praise of God. This is why it's so great. We don't have to do this perfectly. It's already been done in him. We just get to pray and work and ride in his worldwide wake. Let's pray. Father, I'm reminded of verse 6 in Psalm 67. The earth has yielded its increase. It's a picture of harvest. So, Father, among this people, among Coram Deo Church, for the sake of the harvest, for many people knowing Jesus Christ, many people worshiping Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ, and obeying Jesus Christ for the good of their souls, the joy of their hearts, I ask that you would make your face to shine upon us. We are a needy people, and we have nothing without you, God. Please make your face to shine upon us. Your face is beautiful. Your face is radiant. Your face is lovely and strong. And I pray that you would show us your face, so that we would be sent out on mission. So that you might use us, yes, even us, God, use us to make your way known and the saving power of Jesus Christ known. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I pray for the people here this morning that you would make their feet beautiful as they go to declare the good news of Jesus. And we pray for all of this, for your praise, God. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.